Hebrews chapter 12. In your Schofield Reference Bible, turn to page 1303. Page 1303. And beginning with the third verse, we'll read through verse 7. We'll read these verses responsively. And then we'll join together on the 11th verse, which is the text verse. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 3. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And if ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now verse 11 together, please. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Then let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful day you've given us. And not just from the standpoint of the weather. It's just wonderful because we're privileged together here. We have the freedom to do so. And we have the health and strength to do so. So we're privileged and blessed. Thank you so. We pray for your blessing, for your help, for your power to be in evidence in our service this morning. And so, in a special way, meet with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We read a while ago that wonderful scripture that says, afterward chastening yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Chastening comes because of failure. It says that it is good when afterward it yieldeth that peaceable fruit of righteousness. I believe I can show you a truth that will help you this morning, but I can't show it to you unless you listen, so I plead with you for your sake and not mine to listen to the message that I believe God wants me to deliver. Father, bless our message this morning and bless the people who hear and the simple preacher who proclaims it in a special way. Amen. I preached a sermon how long ago, maybe a year, maybe two, maybe 3 years ago, I don't know, here. And I have overhauled it and preached it some across America entitled, Stay in Your Game Plan. You folks who, and I'll just take a few minutes to tell you what that means and then launch from there on to this message this morning. A football coach, at the first of the week, draws up what he calls a game plan for the game next weekend. He tries to explore the strengths and the weaknesses of the opposing team and find what those weaknesses and strengths are. And he draws up a plan. Will he pass a lot or will he run a lot? If he passes, will the passes be long, what we call bombs or long passes? Or short passes over the line. If he runs, will he run into the line with the big runners, or will he use the faster men to run around the end? What will be his game plan? Will he use a split T formation? Will he use a double wide receiver? What formation will he use? He draws up the game plan. Now, if you've ever heard a losing quarterback interviewed after the game, he's asked by the announcer what went wrong, and so often he'll answer, we got out of our game plan. Now follow me. What that means is that they did not choose plays that were a part of the game plan. They all of a sudden got rattled. Maybe they got behind a little bit. And because they got behind, they decided to change their game plan and use plays outside the game plan. most of the failures on a football team, all other things being equal, are caused by one team not having a game plan that is successful, or having a successful game plan, and the plays that are called are outside the game plan. Now, life has a game plan. There's a general purpose for your life. God has a reason for your being here. God has a reason for my being here. Now, the frustrations and unhappinesses of life are caused when our individual plays get outside God's general purpose. When you do something in your life that is not a part of God's game plan for your life, then you have a failure in life. For example, let's suppose a person decides to read 4 chapters of the Bible every day. Every day he's going to read 4 chapters of the Bible. And that's a wonderful thing to do. That's a wonderful play to call every day. But let's suppose that the rest of his life is not lived according to the Bible. He doesn't meditate on the Bible. He doesn't memorize the Bible. He doesn't carry the Bible. He doesn't study the Bible. He doesn't live with the Bible. He takes a non-Bible carnal game plan and places into that game plan 4 little chapters in the Bible a day. That's a good thing to do, but his life is not happy, and the Bible doesn't do him much good because he has a game plan that's carnal and a play that he calls once a day that is spiritual. Let's suppose a person says, I'm going to pray 15 minutes a day. Now, that's a wonderful thing to do. Nothing wrong with that at all. That's a good play to call. But let's suppose that person's life is not built around prayer. He doesn't abide in Christ. He doesn't pray without ceasing. He places one little 15-minute period of prayer into 23 hours and 45 minutes of living for self and not abiding in Christ. So what happens? The individual play that he calls, that 15 minutes a day in prayer, or the 4 chapters a day in the Bible, does not coincide with his game plan, which is materialistic and carnal and worldly. Illustration. Let's suppose a person says, he's a Boy Scout, or used to be a Boy Scout, and he says, I'm going to do one good deed a day. Now, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? A good deed a day? Nothing wrong with that. But let's suppose that one good deed a day is placed into a game plan of life that is selfish. You live 5 minutes a day for others and 23 hours and 55 minutes a day for yourself. So you're not happy in life. Why? You have one play that does one good thing a day, but you can't say, Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, Lord, let me live for others that I may live like thee. Now, what happens? The average person, average Christian, who's frustrated and not happy and complaining and disillusioned with life, he either has a bad game plan, are you listening, a bad game plan into which he puts some good plays, or he has a good game plan into which he puts some bad plays and gets out of his game plan. Now, let's pivot from there to the message this morning. There is a great general purpose for every life. Now, this is the message right now, so listen carefully to this. There is a great general purpose for every life. Now, a failure inside that purpose is better than a success outside that purpose. Let me say it again. A failure inside the general purpose for one's life is better than a success outside that general purpose of one's life. Let me make a second statement. A success is a failure if it's not within the general purpose of that life. Let me paraphrase that. A success is a failure if it leads to nothing. A failure is a success if it leads to something. Let me illustrate. I'm a Hoosier fan. Hoosier basketball fan. I'm a Hoosier. I pull for the Indiana Hoosier basketball team. My favorite athletic team, the Dallas Cowboys. My second favorite athletic team, the Hoosier, Indiana Hoosier basketball team. I don't know why. I guess I pulled back yonder years ago for a guy named Buckner from this area. What was his first name? Quentin Buckner in this area here. Boy, you know your sports. I wish you knew your Bible, Doc. But same view over here, by the way. But I started pulling for Quinn Buckner when he went from over here in Harvey or somewhere and played in Indiana. And so all year long, I pulled for Indiana. Man, 30-some-odd games, I guess. And, man, if I could get one on the radio, I'd listen to it. And if I could, if they played a game at night and I was busy and working, of course, I'd never watch one, never saw one all year long. But I listened on the radio some and parts of games. And if I didn't get the score, before I go to bed at night, I'll call 1-900-410-1414. That's the sports scores game to find out if Indiana won the basketball game or lost the game all year long. And, man, when they won the tie for the Big Ten championship, man, that's great. Now we got to go on and we got to see how far we can go in the NCAA playoffs. And so finally they got to the last game. And, of course, naturally I was preaching somewhere, and it, no luck of mine, I was preaching the wrong time zone, couldn't watch a bit of it. In fact, I was preaching it for Brother Ouellette at the First Baptist Church in Bridgeport. Got back to my room that night in that little town called Frankenmuth up there. And first thing I did, had my coat on, overcoat on, had my hat on, Bible in the hand, and Reese's peanut butter cup in the other hand. And so before I took anything off, I turned the television and said, "Oh, try to find the score of the game." Would you believe it? The game was still on. And what's the little guy that shot the winning basket? What's his name? Smart, yeah, Keith Smart. And so, boy, I couldn't believe it. I'm going to get to watch a part of the game. And so Keith Smart had the ball when I turned it on. And he shot. And the ball went in. And the game was over. And we won. And I was standing there holding the Bible in one hand, a Reese's peanut butter cup in the other hand, overcoat on, and a hat on. And I thought, it'll be. What do you do now? Rah-rah. And I thought, looks like I'd be happy right now. You know why? Because that kind of success leads nowhere. When that kind of success is over, it's over. If you want to see a picture of that, if you could ever watch a film of Walter Payton walking off of the football field after the Chicago Bears had won the Super Bowl, that guy lived to win the Super Bowl. That was his dream. He was one of those players like Ernie Banks that so many years played for a losing team, but he was a star player, and he lived. And finally, his chance. And they played in the Super Bowl. Man, we got to win! We got to win! We got to win! We won. But nobody could find Walter Payton. And finally they discovered he went to a room alone. And as he was walking off the field, he looked dejected. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the victory that he won leads to nothing. It doesn't lead anywhere. Let me illustrate. Two folks will graduate next Friday night from Miles Anderson College. One person will have his diploma because that's what he worked to get. Another person will have preparation for a life's work. They sat in the same classes. They took the same courses. They took the same tests. But one of them is beginning and the other one is ending. One's goal was to get a diploma. Now he has it. It's over. The other's goal was to prepare to do something for God, and now he's prepared to do the same thing. That's why failure, ladies and gentlemen, failure is good in some cases and bad in other cases. Let me illustrate. The other day, I had appointments. I had a number of appointments, but one after the other. One with one of our male school teachers in our system here. And the other with another man who came for some financial help. Now, follow me carefully. He came for some financial help. Now, the fellow came for financial help. And I know this because I checked with both of them. He made within $100 a year the same salary of our school teacher. He came in whining and complaining and begging for money. And life, oh, he said, I have the hardest life. I just can't make ends meet. I don't know what I'm going to do. But now, wait a minute. The school teacher came in to discuss something else. Happy as could be. Just as hungry as the first fellow. in the same poverty of the first fellow. But happy as he could be. Now, same salary, same money, same living circumstances, same type of life, except one was living for a purpose. One, listen, suffering is not so bad if it's for a purpose. Suffering inside this general purpose of one's life is not bad. But you take that same suffering outside the general purpose of one's life, then that's what's bad. That's what the Apostle Bentley said. Don't suffer as those that have no hope. Don't mourn as those that have no hope. The Christian loses his loved one, he mourns. And the unsaved man loses loved one, he mourns. And they look alike, and they cry the same kind of tears, same chemical content. But one is saying, goodbye forever. And the other is saying, see you after a while. What's the difference? The suffering is not bad if the suffering is inside the general purpose of one's life. Now, you see, there are folks this morning feeling sorry for yourself, suffering, heartache, and you're feeling sorry for yourself on a pity trip. Why? Because you're suffering, but the suffering is not a part of the general purpose of one's life. Look, when you lose that general purpose or get outside that general purpose, then your suffering hurts. If you're inside that general purpose and that suffering is a part of that general purpose, then the suffering is not painful. Why? Because the general purpose, the suffering is within the circumference of the general purpose of one's life. Illustration. 1900 and, oh my soul, I hate to admit what year it was, 45. Yeah, 45. I was coming home on furlough from North Carolina to Texas. I hitchhiked all the way. Now, I don't know if it's a sin to hitchhike or not. Never thought about it, but I did. Hitchhiked all the way. I was in Meridian, Mississippi, side the road, hitchhiking. If I didn't do that, I pulled my trousers up and see how pretty my... But anyway, I was hitchhiking, and a big old truck of brick stopped. I mean, a big old giant truck loaded with brick. He said, you can ride with me if you don't mind sleeping in the back of the truck. About that time, a fella down the road here, saw, and he runs up. He's hitchhiking, too. I was about 100 yards in front of him. He's hitchhiking, too. He came running up. You got room for another one? He said, if you don't mind, in the back end of the truck. So we went back in the back end of the truck, laid down, and that was where we drove. I mean, hundreds of miles in the back end of that truck. Now, I was going home. This other guy was just floating from place to place. He had no purpose in life at all. Just, you know, just hitchhiker. So we're back there. And boy, he was driving. Oh, my soul, what a way to travel. I said, man, I love it. I'm going home. You see, that truck was taking me home, but taking him nowhere. I had a purpose. I was going home. I was going to see family and friends and loved ones and preacher and church. I was going home. I had a purpose in it. I can put up with a little suffering on the way if I get home. But he wasn't going home. He had no home. He was just going to the next town. He's back somewhere else. He had no purpose. Listen, I'm talking to folks today in this room who have no purpose in life, and that's why you grunt and groan so much. And I'm talking to other people today who have the same suffering and in the same circumstances. And you're happy. Why? Because it's a part of God's divine plan. That's why. And inside God's divine plan, suffering is not bad. Chastening is not bad if afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. But chastening that does not yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness is bad. So what God is saying here, he's saying inside, being part of the whole, it's okay. Let me tell you another illustration, more personal. My mother used to get up in the morning when I was a boy. I'm talking about now a teenage boy. From the time I was, well, she did this for years, but it lingered all the way till I left home for the Army. My mother would get up in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. Now listen, 4 o'clock in the morning. She would walk two blocks to the Trinity Heights streetcar, or the Lisbon bus, one or the other. She would ride the Trinity Heights streetcar or the Lisbon bus over to the to Jefferson Avenue, and she'd sit. Now, by the way, every time she transferred, had to wait for another bus or streetcar. And then she'd get on another corner, and she'd wait for the Sunset streetcar. And finally, she'd get on the Sunset streetcar, and all this before daybreak, and she'd go down to the get on the Elmwood bus. Now, every morning, she rode three different vehicles, transferred three times, stood outside in all kinds of weather three times every morning, going down to the Lisbon bus, we'll say, and the Lisbon bus over to Jefferson Avenue, and then she'd wait for the Sunset streetcar, and she'd go down to the Elmwood bus place, and she'd stand on the street corner and wait for the Elmwood bus to come. Then she'd work behind a steam table in a public school lunchroom all day long for almost nothing. Then she'd get off. She'd get on the Elmwood bus, wait for that, ride the Elmwood bus to Jefferson Street, wait for the Sunset streetcar again, all types of weather, ride the Sunset streetcar, get off on the corner of Jefferson and, Ewing Street, and she'd wait for the Lisbon bus out in the weather, and she'd come home. Took an hour and a half, 2 hours to get home, and waiting on three corners, all kinds of weather. She did that for years. I never heard her complain. I never heard Mother one time say, "Oh, it's cold out there today." Never heard her one time say, "Oh, I'm tired." Never heard her say it. Never one time ever heard her say she was tired, or she, never one time. Not one time in all those years. She kept on going. And why? She was rearing a boy. She had a purpose in life. She lived for something. She had a boy to rear. She had his clothes to buy. She had his food to earn. She had his rent to pay. She was rearing a boy. That was all she had. But that's what you live for. Listen, I feel sorry for folks that don't live for anything. Oh, you bowl and play golf and make money and stack it up. But there's no real purpose in your life. And so, I grew up. Later on after that, I grew out. But I grew, somebody gave me, yes, this week, they gave me, have you seen this, a big plastic card with a big fat fella in his shorts and undershirt standing on scales, looking down the scale with a gun about to shoot the scale. And somebody gave me that. But anyway, I grew up. That's good, wasn't it? Wasn't a part of the sermon. It wasn't a part of the general purpose. That's why it fell so dead. But it's a perfect illustration of what I'm not trying to teach this morning. But, now wait a minute. My sister's here. She'll vouch for this. If she's not, she'll stay longer in my office than she would. But she's here. When I grew up and went to the Army, my mother folded. She just folded. She couldn't take it any longer. And it wasn't long after I went to the Army that we had to sit down and talk with her one day and say, "Mother, you're just not going to be able to do this anymore." And Mother said, "I know it, Earlene. I know it, Jack." She didn't call me Brother Hiles. And, she said, "I know it, Earlene. I know it, Jack. And what you do?" Well, we sat, Earlene remembers this. She's probably too old to remember, but I remember it. And, but she remembers this. We sat down in the living room, the only room, and we sat down together, and Mother realized for the first time. And after all those years, I mean, when I was a little boy, she worked in a public school lunchroom. Mother lived in a public school lunchroom. I mean, that was her, she worked there, except in the summertime, she'd work in Luby's cafeteria. But all the 9 months of the school year, the public school lunchroom, never a complaint, never, didn't seem to get tired at all. Getting up 4 o'clock in the morning, going to bed at midnight, getting about 4 hours sleep, and getting out in the rain and the sleet and the cold and waiting for a bus and then going to another streetcar line and getting out in the cold and waiting there and getting to another bus line, getting out in the cold and waiting there. Why? What? How did she take the suffering? It was a part of the general purpose of her life. She couldn't do it. Now this morning, if you're suffering within the general purpose of God's plan for your life, don't complain about it. It's for your good. That's what Romans 8 and 28 means. We know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. What it means is those who love God and those who fit into God's plan. It means this. It means, that's what it means. Everything you do that fits into God's plan for your life, will not, the suffering is worthwhile. And you can take it. But the suffering that you endure outside God's plan, that's the suffering that pains and hurts. Why? Because it, and that's the success that hurts. When you win and it's over, there's no, okay, where does it lead you? Where does it lead you? What does it teach you? If what you do, even if you win, I'd rather fail and learn the truth than win and not. Hey, do you know what? Playing for the New England Patriots, when they got beat 41-10, I think it was, 47-10, what was the score? 46-10, whatever it was, they got beat. I was reading in the newspaper about one of the team, one of the members of the team that got beat. And he said, we didn't plan right. He said, I learned more in this game than I've learned in any other game I've ever played. I'd rather be him than Walter Payton. Walter Payton walked off the field with a Super Bowl ring, but it didn't lead anywhere. This guy walked off the field and said, I found out why I lost. And I'll not lose again. I found out why I lost. Illustration, I'll be through. We used to sit, my sister and I, until she got married at 13. She got married at 17, really. I shouldn't have said that. But I'm glad I did. But I also was glad when she got married. I got to hear the radio myself. I got the earphones all by myself after that. And none of that, I got third and fourth instead of fourth in the line to bathe in the number two tub. Not to mention other things, but anyway, we used to by the hours used to put jigsaw puzzles together. That was our what do you call these machines? Video. That's our video machine. Now then, the way you relax is that's the way you relax. We used to do it like this. And we'd put a jigsaw puzzle together. And one day we got a jigsaw puzzle all together, except one piece. And that piece, we didn't have pieces left. Every single piece in order, but we couldn't finish it because one piece was left. And then, no, there's a piece missing. And Mama said, son, don't throw the puzzle away. That piece is somewhere in this house, this apartment. It's somewhere in this house. And son, keep the puzzle. Don't throw the puzzle away. We'll find that piece someday. And then we can complete the puzzle. And sure enough, weeks passed. We didn't throw it away. And by the way, we didn't mess the puzzle up either. But we'd spent days put it together. I'd put 95% together, Arlene, of course, 5%. But one day, behind the door, under the telephone, we had an apartment then, and I'll tell you how cheap we were. We shared a phone with the people in the other apartment next door and sawed a hole in the wall and put a little shelf there. And both families could use it. Isn't that smart? It's also against the law. But anyway, we put it there. kept that phone right there. Remember that? On Idaho Street? And so. But anyway, we found that other piece. Now, follow me carefully. That other piece became the most important thing in that house. Outside that puzzle, it meant nothing. That piece was cut a certain way that it could not be successful in any way in the world outside that puzzle. Nothing else in the world. You couldn't wrap a lunch in it. You couldn't eat it. You couldn't sell it. It wasn't worth one dime or one thing. That little jagged piece with all those little indentations and doojiggers sticking out, that little piece of puzzle was only worth one thing. And that's what you are. Only one purpose in your life. Outside that purpose of your life, lost without being in your place, your life is miserable. But inside that purpose of your life, even suffering is for the good. Even failure is for the good. You find that place. Young people, you find it. You find that place. Little piece of puzzle said, I want to be over there with the telephone in the corner. You won't do any good over there with the telephone in the corner. You're only made for one place. And you're only made for one place. But I want to say this too, and I'll close. There are those this morning who've lost a piece of the puzzle of your life. Don't throw it away. Don't leave the plan of God. Don't leave the puzzle. Leave it right where it is. Don't make any changes. One of these days, you'll find the piece of puzzle and you'll put it together. Don't fret if you're having a tough time. I know little college wives. I'll close with this. Again. As soon as I can get you to cry, I'm going to close. The quicker you cry, can we get out of here? I know little college wives this morning in this room who are living in little hovels, who are happier than some of you ladies that have beautiful homes and complain less. You know why? Because they're fulfilling a purpose. And some of you next Friday night are going to walk across this platform and you're going to see that purpose fulfilled. Don't you see the difference? They're suffering inside a plan. Don't complain. Don't run. Stay in the plan. Because if afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, makes it worthwhile. So victory that leads nowhere is no victory at all. And failure that leads somewhere is real victory. It all depends. Is it inside the plan? I'm so glad God has a place for me. Now, it may be just one little spot. That blesses my soul when I think about, I'll close with this. When I think about that one little piece, there's nothing uglier than a piece in a jigsaw puzzle. And it's got nothing. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't show anything. It is a part of a whole. And there's only one place. I've tried to fit pieces that weren't made. I've gotten scissors and tried, but nothing will fit there. There's no place in the world, in the whole universe, of all the spacious universe of God. There's only one little place about that big where that little jigsaw piece of jigsaw puzzle announced anything. But I want to say this. There is no other piece of anything that can fit that little spot either. There's a spot for you in God's great plan. And it's the only place where you can fit. And by the way, if you don't fit in it, it'll never be filled. It's up to you. Father, bless the message. I want to go on, but I've already gone on four times.